Hey, how many people do you think you know? 10? If you know 10 people, raise your hand. 50. You know 50 people. 100? 200. Probably 500 people. You probably know about 500 people. Wow, Matt Keeler says I'm Facebook in person. Yes, I would answer yes. How many of you are known by 500 or more people? Like they know you. They know you. We love to be known, or do we? We love hide and go seek. Not necessarily the game, because like the older we get, the worse we are at it. Remember my child saying, "Dad, you're a mouth breather." Was not a compliment. I can smell you. I'm like, yep. You guys, we are known by the Most High. He knows everything about us and still loves us. Do you know him? Do you appreciate that he knows everything about you? Does that freak you out? Does that free you up? Is the answer yes? It does both. We're going to spend the next six weeks. That's a talk we're having later, but the next 6 weeks, gosh. Kathy, how many people looked at you at that moment? I too am a pastor. We're going to look for the next 6 weeks at Psalm 139 about what it means to be known and to know. This is actually the definition of intimacy, is to be deeply known and to deeply know. In our society, we have turned intimacy into it meaning sex. But there's so much more. So much better intimacy. Oneness, shalom with God and with each other. And so I wanted to talk about the Psalms because we're only going to do really outside of whatever we might do for communion and having people read and all that. We're just going to go through one Psalm for the next 6 weeks. But the Psalms are amazing. They didn't start out as a hymn book. They didn't start out as a prayer book. They started out as a bunch of different songs, poems, hymns, cries, lament, which is, hey, stuff is terrible. Woe is us. And then there's also praise, like, but I know you can do something about it. And lament is good. I think when we build a life on lament, that can be really bitter. That can be really painful. But that's not what God wants for us, is just bitter and painful. But he knew. I mean, we go all the way back to the story that we just spent 16 weeks talking about. Man uproots, right? So it gets a little bit gross, or a lot bit. But in the Psalms, there's these five different books that kind of unpack what it means to praise the Lord and to lament. What it means to say, look, I want to follow your rules. I want to be a part of this, like, covenant relationship, but I'm desperately in need of your help. I want to see the messianic kingdom come. And that's what they were writing about. Like, 49 of the Psalms are unknown, like, who wrote them. Some people have some guesses. The rest are David, Asaph or Asaph or whatever way you want to pronounce it. Solomon and Moses kicked in there. The sons of Korah were in there too. And there's all these really, really, really wonderful, really raw, really intimate cries to God of praise, but also of lament. And those are all encapsulated pretty stinking well in Psalm 139. If Psalm 139 isn't known to you, yes, pun intended, then this next 6 weeks, please don't miss it. And read through it. I mean, it's only 24 verses. Try and read through it every week. If you're not already doing this with us, join in and reading through the Psalms, and you can catch up. It's pretty good. I don't remember where we're at today. I'm kind of a little bit ahead. Don't tell anybody. They won't believe you anyway. But like, we're at least up to 20 right now, 19. And so join us in that, and it's really good. And maybe write down some things that look like the thread, right? God plants, man uproots, God restores, God regenerates. You're going to see it all the way through that as well. But with that, I want to get to Psalm 139. Yes, the whole thing. If you need to stand to stay awake, you can. I know I've got those velvety tones. Here we go. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. Verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Whew. He starts with search me and he ends with search me. This is an examination. This is, I'm going to show you that I know you. By the way, you and I are known by the know-it-all. You know that phrase, right? Let me give you a little quote from an experience that I had one time. You're kind of a know-it-all. Is that a compliment in our culture? What's it generally mean? You're conceited. I don't really like your tone. No, I'm just kidding. It's true. That's how they said it to me. You're kind of a know-it-all. It's not actually you know-it-all. It's like you think you know-it-all. You've always got something to say. You know what I said to that? I know. You guys, I was invited to speak to this group of kids the vast majority of which were either born in Mexico, or for sure, all of them, their parents were born in Mexico. And I was talking to them about that we have a lot in common, even though I wasn't born in Mexico. My parents weren't born in Mexico. I only speak un poquito español. I kind of like soccer. And they're starting to like, look at me like, you're hitting some stereotypes here, buddy. And I started to talk about, like, I like Mexican food. And then they started to be like, and I was like, but the coolest thing is that my Irish heritage and your Mexican heritage, we have the same colors in the flag. And they're like, no. And I'm like, yep. And this kid's wearing a Mexican national soccer team jersey that has the tres colores. And he goes, red, not orange. You're kind of a know-it-all. And I was like, I don't remember anything else of that day other than how very humbled I needed to be, but I felt humiliated. Can anybody really quick while I take a drink of water, what's the difference between humiliated and humbled? You learn something from one. If I'm humbled, I actually don't make it about me. If I'm humiliated, I'm going to make it about me. You're trying to make me look stupid. Like, homie, you don't need no help. you got that on lockdown, bro. I told these kids, like literally 98% of the kids in the room were either born in Mexico or their parents were. No, you're wrong. You guys, I'm a pretty decent person, and by the grace of God, I've got a brand new heart. I'm a good man by Jesus' grace. I am terrible at being a know-it-all. And so are you. We all are. God's a know-it-all, and he's really good at it. Let's look at a few verses. Job 34. If you're in Psalm with me, you just need to turn back one book to Job. It looks like Job. I get it, but it's Job. Job 34, 21. I'm going to do something today, and I'm going to try to do this randomly as we're being rooted in God's word. The first person who's there, you're not going to hear it online, but you can see it. I'm going to ask one of you to stand up and read this verse. Job 34, 21. Who's got it? Who's ready to read it? Go ahead. Stand up good and loud. Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. Where are his eyes? Just dudes, right? Ladies, you're off the hook. Yeah, sweet. Finally, we get a break in this patriarchal society. That was out loud. How many of our steps does he see? He's a know-it-all. All right, back to Psalm. We're going to go to Psalm. Go to Psalm 33. Back two Psalms, we're going to read Psalm. See, I'm working on that because when people go, Psalms 40, there's no S there. But in the book of Psalms, there's an S. Can we work on that together? It's kind of like when you say, irregardless. Ooh, how many teachers? We just had a few teachers show up. When they say, I could care less. Why don't you? If you say, I couldn't care less, now we're working with something, right? This is Psalm 33, and we're going to go 13 through 15. Whoever has it, please stand and read it out loud. Psalm 33, 13 through 15. Don't be afraid. No, ladies first. That's good. Thank you. Hey, we got you, Nate. Don't worry. Thanks. Actually, will you read 13 and 14? And you can read 15. All right, you ready for that, Nate? Okay, go for it. Thanks.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth.
Well done. Thank you.
He fashions their hearts individually, considers all their works.
Gosh. He's a know-it-all. Fashions their hearts. Observes all their deeds. Looks down from heaven, sees how many children of man? I love this part. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of earth. Some people are wondering right now in Ukraine if God knows who we are. Some people have been wondering for years and years and years, literally thousands of years, does God know us? Bless you. But God totally knows. He knows it all. The final one we're going to look at today is Hebrews 4:13 on this know-it-all. We're going to go back to Psalm 139. But let's go all the way to Hebrews, back into the New Testament. Hebrews 4:13. Be somebody in the back row. Come on, don't be slackers. Who's got it? Hebrews 4:13. Thank you, Nate. Here's the problem. This verse. This is what we think of when we think of God knowing everything. We're naked before him and we've got to give an account. Do you know how many people, not because I'm perfect, but because in some people's minds, there is a spiritual authority that I have. Pastor Aaron or whatever. And honestly, call me Pastor Aaron, that's fine. Thank you. I despise when people call me Pastor Aaron as a title and have really actually no respect that goes with it. They're just acknowledging that title. Like, oh, the pastor's here. Everybody look good. Anybody who knows me gets over that pretty quick. But this idea, right, that we have to act a particular way. I mean, I'm going to be off the screen for a second, but you're still going to be able to hear me. It's like this sometimes when people come to church, right? They're going to be out in the parking lot, and they're arguing. No, you said, I was the one that I told you to do this. They get in the door and like, hi, God bless you. Jesus loves you. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm so happy. Wasn't that Easter service? It was so wonderful. Oh, so good. Like God didn't see you cussing people out? He didn't see how you drove here? And then we're like, no, I know he knows that. That's why it's hard for me. But we're really down for being upset with God when he doesn't show us that he knows us by taking care of our problems immediately or even expeditiously or just eventually. But we don't want him to get in on our stuff when we have these thoughts because he knows our hearts. We don't want him to be a just God with us. We want him to be just with the people who are unjust to us. I have a neighbor. He lives behind me. He works for a company that gets a lot of their parts from China. He said, we're about to get a lot of time off. And I said, why is that? Does anybody have an idea? What's that? Shanghai. What's Shanghai got going on right now? They're on lockdown. Do you remember how COVID's over? Listen, this stirred up so much in us that we wanted people who didn't agree with us, who did things differently than us, who maybe even were passionately in opposition to us, we wanted them to be corrected. Not our hearts to be corrected. No. Them. It's us and them. We've done that in the church, friends. And God knows everything. And still loves you like crazy. So to be known is to actually be freed up. What Nathan read said, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. We've got to give account to God, and he already knows your junk. I love if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the first two people were made in God's image. He breathed life into them. And they were naked. And what? Unashamed. Now naked is like, whoa. I don't know, Candy, did you see the shared granddaughter that we have yesterday at your husband's memorial service? She wasn't naked, but it was super close. And she felt no kind of shame. She did things with her underwear that if any of my children did, I'd be like, oh, nope. There's a sweet box that you can live in the rest of your life. Little kids, they don't even care. No offense. They're not worried about what they look like. You know why? Anybody. Because they don't know better? Okay, let's put that on the table. But what else? Why aren't they ashamed? They don't know shame yet. They haven't been taught that. They feel loved. Until they're stealing something that they shouldn't steal. And then they go off the screen. That, they didn't have to get taught either. It's in us. But when you're just being you, which this whole culture loves, you do you. You just be genuine. You just be authentic. Just do whatever you want to do that makes you happy. And we want to force the don't be ashamed. There are some things we need to be repentant of. And God says, yep. Let's go back to Psalm 139 for a second. As you're turning back to that, I want to read to you something from the Faith Life Study Bible. A guy named Skip Heitzig. He said this. God knows everything. His knowledge is immediate, instantaneous, comprehensive, and fully retentive. God knows what he knows without any kind of painstaking research. He never had to go to school, take a test, or be informed about anything. You can never tell God something he doesn't already know. He knows it all. In short, he's omniscient. That's all-knowing. He's know-it-all. But I'm going to tell you something really cool about this divine know-it-all. He's also personal. He doesn't just know it all from way up in heaven looking down on us ants with a magnifying glass. This one's done. That one. Oh, there's a group of them right over there. So there's a big word that I just found out this week as I was studying. So I've got there's omniscience. There's omnipotence. There's omnibenevolent as well. all loving. That's hard for us to take. Is there going to be wrath? Yeah, there is. But he'd much rather give us grace. He'd much rather correct us, not so he can look good. He's good. He doesn't need us to tell him he's good. He's fine. Oh, gosh, I feel so much better about myself. Aaron praised me today. Not at all. He's God. He knows it all. And he's so good. And he's so personal. David would know this. But David was a human, and he knew he was a human. And so I'm going to read Psalm 139, 1 through 6. We'll take this little portion. I want you to look for the word known. I want you to look for God in the verbs about God and what he's doing with people and what David and maybe even us could call God to do that he's already doing, but now we join him in that progress. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. This is so powerful. You search me and you know me. We get to a spot where we confess things and it feels really, really scary, but also really, really good. And God isn't like, gosh, I didn't know that. Appreciate the insight. But it's good for us. He says, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You know my whole day. You know my thoughts before they even come out. Whoo. You know what that is? Christy, it's our word. It's awesome. It's awesome. It should be awe-inspiring. It should catch you up a little bit, and then you go, oh, wait. But he's not crushing me. You search out my path and my lying down. Here again, when I get up and go about my day, and then when I lay down. And you're acquainted with all my ways. I don't necessarily love that word acquainted there. That almost sounds like God's like, yeah, I remember Bill. I'm familiar with Bill. He's got Bill on lockdown and every other human being. Even before words on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Cuss words should start to take on a whole new meaning right now. Well, I didn't say it, but I was thinking it. Oh, okay, God's like, good, you get a pass. I mean, he knows what's going on before you think it, before you say it. This is awesome. This is all-knowing. And he's personal. Listen to this in verse 5. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Anybody ever get tucked in by a parent or a grandparent? Anybody besides me? Oh, gosh, I used to love that. I'd be like, lean over on my right a little bit, and they tuck in. Lean over on the left, tuck in. Ah. There's some giggling going on. Kathy, will you tuck me in tonight? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what I used to think of when I read this hem. I mean, I know it's like hem. All my pants need to be hemmed. I'm 5'7", but the truth is, I just cuff them. And so I used to think hem was like, oh, okay, there's a little, like, intentional. God's got you behind you, before you. This word means barricade. Now we're starting to like, yeah, that's what it feels like. God's just got me all just, I can't get out. We have little kids, right, that you take these babies and you swaddle them. Oh, no, that's called a straitjacket. They're like, get out. Me, I'm like, tuck me in. This is good. Till you get hot and then you get your arms free and you do your thing, right? And this is how we are with God and Him knowing us. Some of us are like, yeah, He totally tucks me in, His hands on me. I feel so loved and cared for. Or He's crushing me. I've got no freedom. I can't just do what I want to do. He's barricading me. Oh, sure, He's giving me choice, but He knows everything. He's created all these hearts. There's no free will. That's a joke. Do you know why we fight God knowing us so well? Anybody want to confess why we? No, confess why your wife does it. Or why your husband or why your kids do. Or why somebody you've never met, why they don't want God to know them that well. Why do we fight it? Guilt. Thank you. What else? Shame.
Do we even know ourselves?
Do we even know ourselves? How many of you have to say, I don't know, to a question? Yeah? All of you? If not, you're the bad kind of know-it-all. Look, friends, God does know it all. He does hem us in. His hand is on us. And sometimes, because we want to do what's wrong, that feels like a bummer. You're feeling that from God, and He's exposing you and showing your thoughts and your pain and your agony. Maybe He used COVID. Maybe He's used other kinds of death. Maybe He used financial problems. Maybe He's used relational problems. Maybe your body isn't doing what you want it to do anymore. Maybe your kids don't do what you want them to do anymore. You're like, dude, they never did what I wanted them to do. And then all of the people who are single will say, it's because you're a bad parent. And they'll tell you all the things you can do to be a better parent. And then they get kids, and you're like, how's it going? Oh, that's just me. Sorry. I mean, seriously, we have a God that knows everything. And when we feel oppressed and crushed and barricaded and blocked, rather than fight Him, tuck in. Let Him hold you. Confess. Repent. Come to where He's calling you to come to, and that's to be seen by Him. Finally, this is how David finishes this first part. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I just don't get it. It's high. When I was growing up, if you said something was high, you're like, you're high, you're baked, you're out of your mind. This isn't so different. This is so much beyond me, which is really the point. You're known by the divine know-it-all, and He loves you, and He wants you, and He's refining you, and He's refining me, and He's restoring us. But David finishes with, I cannot attain it. Point made. You're not God. You can't do it like Him. You can be like Him. You get to walk on the water, so to speak, and you get to be like Him. You're made in His image, but you never get to be Him. Remember, that was the first problem with the first people. They wanted to be Him. We can't be Him. So rest in that. Let Him tuck you in. Let Him hem you. Let Him hold you. And if you fight it, then go ahead and repent. I have a couple of questions for you, and then we're going to finish with Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. So what are you going to do about this omniscient, all-knowing, omnibenevolent, all-loving God. What are you going to do? Fight him some more? Nothing. Be mad. Humble yourself. Come to him in awe and praise. You are so different than me and anybody else. You're so much higher than me. And you're awesome, and I love you, and have your way in me. Look, we have in our little community something that's going to happen or not happen, depending on how people vote. And there's people that totally believe that if you vote different than them, that you're a sellout, you're a chump, you don't care about kids, or you don't care about money, or whatever. And I really, honestly, don't care how you vote. I just think it would be cool if you live in this town to vote. Look, I'm tired of being taxed. I'm tired of not being taxed enough. So let's pay some more. But in my community, there are people who are impacted very positively in the schools. Extracurricular activities have made all the difference in some of these young people's lives. So I'll vote the way I'm going to vote. You vote the way you're going to vote. And let's still be friends before the God that sees us butt naked before him. And knows everything about us. Plus, if you vote, people are going to know what you voted. I've already been contacted. I got nothing to hide. The last time there was this vote, it was in a car, and it stayed in the car until after the vote. Boo. Not this time. Whew. I went down there about 2 weeks early. Hi, let's turn that in. You got time. Let your voice be heard. You don't like it? Then vote no. You like it? Then vote yes. You don't like COVID? What are you going to do about it? If you like COVID, you're sick. Probably literally. Amen. But right here, this last thing, what are you going to do about God and his all-knowing, all-loving, all-awesome self? You're going to do nothing. You're going to worry that he knows too much about you. You're going to be mad. You're going to humble yourself, or you're going to come to him in awe and praise. What's it going to be? Because this divine know-it-all, he also is one of us. Will you join me back at Hebrews 4? We read 13, Nathan did. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. And then this. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Remember, you confess with your mouth what? Jesus is Lord. Hold fast to that confession that he's good, that he's the Lord. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but instead one who's in every respect has been tempted as we are. Whoo, these three words, yet without sin. He's way different than us. Just like us, but way different. He's awesome, remember? How much does he know about you? Everything. Some of you are like, everything, everything? Yeah, everything. Gosh, he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. We've forgotten some things. Listen to how this ends. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He knows us, so let us draw near to him, not try to hide. It's so foolish. Back to the aforementioned grandchild. She would, just like all of my other children, but in particular all of my daughters, wear a little dress and pull the dress up here and cover their face. You can't see me. I'm like, you want to bet? I see a whole lot of you. That's how we are when we try to hide with God. Knock it off. He already knows. Let us draw near to him with confidence, to this throne of grace, not this throne of destruction. If you're his, draw near. If you're not, let, like we just sang, his kindness lead you to repentance. Don't try to hide. Come to him, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. He knows everything about you, so come to him. Let's pray. Father, today is such a beautiful day outside. I wonder how many people will be here next hour because they slept in and then they got all those projects to do and we can finally mow the lawn and all that. But you know them and you're talking to them and you're actually right there with them. I'm not just asking you to bring them to church so we can feel good about ourselves that there's people sitting here. I'm asking, Lord, that you bring them to yourself as you promised to and that they would come to you. If that includes being in here and celebrating and joy in the house of the Lord today, then cool. But what I really want for them is to draw near to you with confidence that you know everything about them, that you've called them to you, and you want them to retell your story, to thank you, to be transformed, to look forward, not be ashamed, afraid, or embarrassed. God, I pray that for all of us, that we would be humble, that we would praise you, that we would want you, and we would make you known. God, I pray all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.